As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind, it's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Glad to have you on board. This is all about renovation, renovating your pub, your home, your 1-4 unit buildings. And if you want to be part of the show and call in, call 888-627-6008, toll free, and join in the conversation. We are 203K Consultants. We do FHA, 203Ks, Fannie Mae Home Style, VA renovation inspections, and so forth. So if you're purchasing or refinancing your house and you want money to fix it up, one of those three projects or products might fit your need. So I want to let you know that next week we'll be discussing exactly what it is a consultant should be doing for the your 203K project. When you hire a consultant, what are you going to get when you pay that consultant fee? There's a lot of consultants out there now that don't really have a clue, so I have a feeling there'll be a lot of them tuning in to hear what we have to say about that. In the meantime, today we're going to be talking about some problem 203K projects that we've had, with several examples of the projects that have caused headaches in one manner or another. The problems range from "let's do just a little minimum amount of construction as possible, the bare minimum, and cut the contingency down to 10% when the project dictates a 20% contingency would be more appropriate. Nearly every time we see a 203K project, or we do hear this comment, "I just want to do the bare minimum. I want to just pass FHA's minimum property standards and nothing more." Now, these people, in fact, don't really mean that. What they really are trying to tell us is, "We only want that much in the loan." Well, frankly, that's about the worst thing you can do. I know you think that you're a handyman, but you really want to spend every weekend for the next year or two working on the house? I think not. You never know how much time we have left on this earth. So get the house fixed like you want it. That's what I recommend all the time. Let's get in there, enjoy your home as long as you can. But when you're trying to do the bare minimum with the idea that you're going to become a slave to that house, does that really sound like what you want to do every weekend for the next year, fixing little things that you thought you'd just skip on? You know, for each $1,000 you put into it right now at the rates we have, it's only going to change your payment maybe $50, $40 a month. Isn't it better to have that peace of mind? So we had a wonderful client years ago who purchased a very small home. It was on a lake. He had his own dock and inherited a couple of geese, watchdogs, if you would. Every time I went out there, the geese tried to attack me, keep me away from him. But he was always out on that dock fishing when I would pull up to do a draw inspection. The work was coming along a bit slow, and when I asked the wonderful contractor we had on that project what was going on, he would just tell me the client hasn't made his choice of cabinets yet. Till he does, we can't install them. You know, and we all know that. Homeowners should try to get all this stuff lined out before the project starts. In this case, the contractor had everything picked out with the homeowner. And lo and behold, the homeowner decided to change his mind halfway through the project and get a different kind of cabinet, but he hadn't selected them yet. I would ask the client, "What's the holdup? what's going on here that's you can't get this done? And he would always promise that he would get it done this week. Yet it never came. It was as if he wanted the contractor's company more than he wanted his project fixed or finished. A lot of the work had been done. The home was livable, except it had the old kitchen. This guy was a simple man, and I think he could have lived in that kitchen, but he did not want to stop the contractor from coming around because he would visit with them. Apparently, his kids weren't doing the job. Anyway, one day I called the contractor to remind him that we were overdue on a draw. We needed to get out there and do an inspection. When he informed me that, lo and behold, we hadn't been available. He couldn't get in the house to finish the job. Homeowner wasn't responding to his calls either. Go out there, the locks were changed. He couldn't gain access to get in and do any work that he saw needed or could be done. So I kept calling him, and after another 30 days went by, the lender and I decided to force a draw, and I headed out to the site. When I got there, it was very quiet, nothing on the dock, not even the geese. A neighbor noticed me looking around and asked if I was looking for the owner. They then informed me that he had passed away about 60 days earlier, about the time that we called the first time, tried to get a draw inspection. But his kids had moved into the house, they said, and were not answering the doors. Apparently, they had no other place to live, and they were afraid to try to discuss it and see what the options were. So the option for the lender then was to foreclose on this home. The guy had had several heart attacks before, and every time I'd go out there to see him in the summertime, his T-shirt would be off, and you could see the scars all over his chest where he'd gone in for other operations. But it was his dream, and he was happy he was living there and fishing and having a great time before he passed. So I think that's a good thing. Down payment. Let's talk a little bit about the down payments and why people prefer, excuse me, what I would prefer would be to don't worry about the touch, especially if you're planning to do other work. It's your home. Make it your home. You know, these repairs you're going to do, unless you want to work on it again for the next year every weekend and become a slave to that house, let's get it done. Get in there and enjoy your home. Okay. So many times we see the borrowers are trying to get into a house for the minimum of 3.5% down payment, which is FHA has the lowest down payment in the business, other than VA, which is 100% financing. But that should never be the issue, especially if you plan to dump another $50,000 or $75,000 into the house during the course of construction. You know, think about it with me a little bit. If you're planning to put additional work into the scope with your own money outside the scope of work that we've created, which you forced us to make at 3.5% interest, 3.5% down payment, about $35,000, $40,000, that's where you wanted to halt it. And then you're going to dump another $75,000 on the side. The work you're doing, if done by a second contractor, is going to get in our way, frankly. If you have a second contractor, our contractor's not going to want to get on the job until the other contractor is finished, vice versa. You know, contractors do not want to have two different general contractors on the project at the same time. It's a liability issue. So if you're trying to keep your loan amount down, therefore you only want the 3.5% down payment, and you want exactly $30,000 in construction costs, yet you're going to put another $75,000 down into the construction on other items, you're fooling yourself. Let's think about it this way. If you include all the work that you want to get done, it'll go much smoother. and put that additional money down payment as a down payment on your house, you might fit into a better loan and avoid the mandatory FHA 203K mortgage insurance premium, or MIP. This might save you $400 to $500 a month in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, but it might only save you $300 or $400 a month in other areas around the country. But it actually may cost you more to do it the wrong way. By putting that extra money down, your loan amount is not going to be any more than it was before. So the loan didn't change. So what did change? Only the dynamic, the amount of money that you're wanting to put into this project is, and one contractor is going to be able to handle the whole thing and not give you any problem with two contractors on the job. That won't exist. Excuse me. So it's better all the way around, and you might be able to get away from that PMI. Now, if you qualify for the home style loan by Fannie Mae and it comes to 20% that you've actually put down instead of 3.5, there's no PMI at all. But they have a sliding scale, and if you put down, if it amounts to 15%, there's a small PMI, but it's less than the FHA. And if you put down only 5%, it's a different amount of PMI that you're paying. So either way, it's a better deal for you. Be honest with your consultant. Don't try to hide the fact that you're going to be doing all this extra work, because that becomes borderline fraud against FHA and HUD, and you're making the consultant an unwilling participant in your fraud. So it's better, be honest with us, let us know what it is you want to do, and as a consultant, we'll try to figure out the best way to achieve that. Now, sometimes your credit just is not good enough to get a conventional renovation loan, and we understand that too. So but we'll work with you. If it can be a better deal for you, we can. If it's going to stay FHA, it will automatically have PMI. How do you get out of it? Well, they say if you wait a few years and you get down to 20% equity, or up to 20% equity, that you might be able to get out of it. But you can refinance out of it as well anytime after the construction's finished. So if you're just trying to keep the down payment low, then don't fool yourself and try to do work on the side. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about, if I can catch up with myself here, about some of the work that you can do with the 203K and Fannie Mae products. One of the biggest things, no house is any better than this foundation. So if you have a foundation issue, and it needs to be addressed, the FHA 203K or the Fannie Mae home style is a good way to remedy that problem. Foundation work is always problematic. That's the other thing. When you're getting a loan with 203K, we always suggest certain types of construction has a 20% contingency, and put it in there because we know from our experience that you are going to have problems that are going to eat up 10% contingency pretty quickly. So we suggest that you put a 20%. So listen to your consultant when they suggest a 20% contingency. Foundation work, if you've got major foundation work, 20% contingency is the only way to go. I can't tell you how many projects we've suggested that, put it in the write-up, only to have somebody come back from homeowner situation and say, you know, we got to keep our loan amount down. We want to keep our mortgage low. Well, why? You want to keep your mortgage low so your payment is low, and yet if we refinance you after the construction side is finished, then you're going to get rid of the PMI. So make sure you have enough money. Unless you got a big bank account and you're ready to bring it forward and pay for the things that we know we're going to run into, and that's just a fact. We are going to run into problems if in fact, have foundation issues to beginning. Foundation work, you're going to have an engineer involved. That's a fee. Maybe a couple of them, but a soils engineer for sure. He'll tell you what kind of footing you need for the kind of soils so it doesn't come back and haunt you or destroy itself again. So I tell you, let's go ahead and take a little break. Don't forget to call to be part of the show. You can call in at 888-627-6008. Love my renovation project. We'll be back in just a minute.
.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now. And let's fix your problems.
Hey, this is Mike Young back with you. Again, if you want to call and be part of the show, have a question about a potential renovation you're doing, call 888-627-6008. We enjoy your calls. Your calls is what makes our program more interesting. Anyway, when we're talking about foundation and foundation issues and how you should always have a 20% contingency anytime you're doing anything to do with your foundation, it's just good common sense to do so. I had an engineering contractor that I was working with years ago. He was on my wanted to be on my staff at We had 15 W-2 employees working on computers in our office for all these FHA 203Ks back in the 90s. And this young man, actually, he was an older man, older than me by 20 years at that time. But he and I were working on a home that had we noticed a crack in the wall that went from the floor on one side of the room towards the outside wall where it went to the ceiling. And the crack was opened wider at the top. So I was pointing that out and suggesting to an engineering contractor what might be happening here. I said, we won't know till we go outside, but right now I'm suspecting that we have a grading issue on the outside of this wall. And his reaction caught me off guard because he says, you in no way, it's impossible for you to know that. It's just flat impossible. I said, well, let's go take a look. So what we found was along that side of the house, it was a long wall. It had one downspout, and it was right in the middle of that picture window on that wall of that room we were looking at. By the way, it had the crack we saw on one wall, it had a matching crack on the other wall opposite us. So on two walls, the same crack. It was clear to me that we had a grading issue, but not to him, apparently. And he had the credential, engineering contractor. So when we went outside, what we found was there was one downspout in that entire length of wall, and the head came down right in front of their bay window. It would have been right in the middle of their view. Instead of putting a downspout somewhere else and moving it, they just let it fall 8 feet to the ground, and it had pretty much dug a hole right at the foundation. So now we had exactly the situation I explained to him before we went out and looked. So what happened? We got out there. the solution rather was to remove the downspout so they would improve their view and put it somewhere else. As simple as that, and control that water. We must control that water. We can't just let it fall where it wants to and dig a hole next to the foundation, or we'll have the problem that we had in this house. The solution we came up with was to put the foundation back where it belonged. There was no cracks in it. Some people call them ram jacks or push piers, but you actually bolt on to the side of the foundation that's good and drive a pier straight down through that device until it reaches bedrock, and then you crank it up until the foundation comes back to where it should be. And the cracks inside the house disappeared as we lifted the house. It only needed about, only about an eighth of an inch crack at the upper end of that walls, or those walls. So once that was done, then we had to fill the void that we created by lifting the foundation with what they called a structural foam. This foam actually might have been able to do the whole job all by itself, but the engineer wanted to see something going down to bedrock before he would sign it off. Once we had the void there, we shot structural foam under there, which will actually fill the void and fill 100% of the void. It keeps small rodents. They don't like it. They won't touch it. And that was quite effective in that particular instance. We had another project where we used push piers. I think it was up in the area of that. We had 4-inch cracks, 4-inch wide deflection in the kitchen floor. One side of the room was 4 inches higher than the other side. And these push piers or ram jacks were used there too. And they leveled that floor. I just find it fascinating. And if you ever want to learn more about that, you can go to eaglelifting.com or ramjack.com and find videos and diagrams that explain the process in detail. But example two, most foundation issues are minor cracks that merely need to be monitored and addressed to keep them from getting any worse. HUD says that 98% of the foundation issues that we run into nationally are caused by poor grading. And when I go out to do an inspection on an FHA 203K, one of the first things we look at is the grading as we walk around the house and see that somebody had planted a sprinkler system quite often in the far, about a foot from the house, aimed back at the house. So 100% of the water that they water their plants with hits the house, hits the foundation, and drops back into the floor right there at the foundation and creates problems. You don't want to add water next to the foundation. I don't even like to see people plant that close to the foundation. Grade it away, stay a foot or two away from the house and plant your plants. Other people will plant a redwood tree 6 inches from the house. I don't know what they're thinking, because that redwood tree is going to be someday 36 inches around. So you need to really think about the plant. In California, we have the drought problem here the last few years. You always want to use drought-resistant planting and so forth. So as we find out that the grading is usually the problem with foundations, you want to make sure that your grading is always up to par. It may be that the grading just needs to be improved a little bit, or it could be a lot. So most of the time it's just shovel work or rake and shovel work. But once in a while you need to get a tractor in there and actually move some dirt around. I know that my brother's Labrador Retriever would always dig a hole under the leaking faucet that he had in the backyard. Why he never fixed that leak, I have no idea. But then the dog would lay in that hole and let that water drip on him and just get all wet and muddy just before he'd go back into the house on their white carpet. Of course, we don't have any leaking spigots anymore, right? Nobody does. Nearly every home that we run into has some sort of grading issues and needs some help in that grading department. Such a simple thing to correct, yet no one seems to do it or get it right. You likely have the single largest purchase in your life, your home, and you can't remember to perfect the grading. Just don't let water stand next to the foundation. If you do, just grade it so it doesn't. It's always nice to grade it so that it goes out to an outfall or out to the street, but sometimes that's not possible. In fact, one house we did in Concord, California, the front yard sidewalk was high and the lot tapered straight down toward the house. And it was a fairly good slope. So the water that ran off of that front yard when they watered and when it rained would accumulate at the foundation at the house. So if we could get it to go off to the right side or left side of the house, we could carry it out in the middle of the backyard and drop it out there. But it still wasn't very practical. These people had to figure out exactly what would be the best solution. And what we came up with is our own special solution. We ended up digging a 24-inch round hole 12 feet deep and filling it with rock. And we put a French drain that do that. And we were able to take most of the water into that. And then from there, if that overflowed at any time, we made a swale in the backyard that took it out to the mid backyard. But most of the water was contained cistern that we created. The sprinkler thing is an issue that's always baffled me. If you're going to put a sprinkler system in, why don't you run the sprinkler system closer to the house and let it water away from the house? That seems to me a no-brainer, but some people don't get it. So why don't we, it's time. Remember, call and be part of the show. Call in at 888-627-6008 and tell us some of your interesting issues or issues that you have with your house and the grading. We'll be back in just a minute.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203K911.com. We know what to do.
Hey, Mike Young's back with you. Be sure and call in at 888-627-6008 if you want to be part of the show. We're talking about foundations today and some of the problems that are easily solved with grading and some that are not quite so easy. I know we had one in North Carolina a few years ago where one of the rooms was boarded off at waist high so you could look over the board and see, but you didn't want you walking in that room where the floor had actually dropped about a foot to 18 inches on two walls that were adjacent to each other. Now, that is kind of unusual. When you see a wall that's dropped on one side, that's one thing, because you got your floor joists typically running in one direction, and if they fail on the outside edge, or the foundation fails on the outside edge, then you'd think the whole floor on that side would drop. But this had two adjacent walls. Both had failed and dropped in the corner and all the way back along both walls, length of the room. My first impression was, hey, let's go out and see what's going on outside. But we had about a foot or foot and a half of snow on the ground outside. So the foundation was not going to be easily seen from the outside. Frankly, I didn't want to get in there underneath this thing and have it cave in on me. So we got under there and did all the inspecting we could to find out that where the mud sill at the top of the foundation supports the floor joists. The floor joists had actually been eaten up by some wood-destroying organisms. Don't recall what ones at this point, but it could have been just about anything, termites, or they weren't currently active, or beetles. Maybe carpenter ants or carpenter bees are pretty predominant in that area too. So in any case, what we ended up having to do was to replace all of the floor joists. We had to take the floor out in that room, and it was almost perfectly isolated to that room. But what got me was how they had put the floor joists in. They had put floor joists all the way along one side and then turned them sideways and ran them down the other side. So that's why they failed on two walls of that bedroom. Had they just run them in one direction like we did when we put it back together, I think they would have been much better off. So when that entire floor structure in that one room had failed with the snow on the outside, got no choice but to get under there and see what's causing that mess. We had a couple of hillside jobs recently that we did. One in Oakland Hills that the house backed up to a steep downslope. It was very clear that the foundation had failed. You could see big chunks of foundation just turned sideways, and it was clear that house was going to come off that hill if we didn't do something with it pretty fast, pretty soon. City of Oakland has an interesting, they have a lot of slippage, a lot of subsidence going on, and they have made it a law, if you would, an ordinance that you cannot do any hillside construction. You can't disturb a hillside in Oakland during the winter, during the rainy seasons. So we knew this was just before, it was still in the summer, and we had time to get in there and fix it. But we saw chunks of concrete that were 2 feet by 6 feet that were moving, that were gone. They were just, they had moved enough to prove to us that there was no concrete in that foundation. And we finally, the borrower felt that the solution was so costly that he wasn't going to be able to get that house. And he moved on and found a different house. But it looks to me like some handyman homeowner thought if he installed enough concrete, he could solve his problem. But it's not just concrete that you have to work on these foundations. You have to put some steel in it, and it needs to be engineered. So get your soils engineer out there and get your engineer to design a foundation that will fit these soils. He had a lot of houses in this area that had potentially fabulous views of the San Francisco skyline, Golden Gate, the Bay Bridge, the Bay Bridge being the Oakland-San Francisco Bay Bridge. A lot of those designed with a kitchen at the back of those houses, and the kitchen had the view, which frankly sucks. It's not the way to do it. Clients that bought houses in the El Cerrito Hills with a similar San Francisco skyline view, Golden Gate Bridge views, and their kitchen was at the back of the house. They moved the kitchen up to the front. So when you walk in the house, you walk into a hallway and a short wall. And when you turn left, they put their main living area at the back of the house, and they made that entire back wall glass. Now, when we got there initially, it had a deck, and that deck supports had failed, and it was had caution, do not enter signs everywhere. The posts that supported it were 20 to 25 feet high, and they had used 4x4 posts, and they were bowed now and just not sufficient to handle the weight of that little deck. It wasn't a great deck. It was just I think it was about 5 or 6 feet wide around the back of the house, but there was no door out there. You had to go out the side entrance, pick up the deck, and walk outside. There was no real view out the back of this house until these young people bought the house and fixed it up and created that entire back wall as a glass wall, and that was their living room. Now they could look out on that beautiful views. They actually increased the size of the posts to 4x6s or 6x6s, I don't really recall, and they put a 4x4, 4 foot by 4 foot and 4 foot deep piers underneath each of those posts, because they could see real quickly that the posts and the pier that were supporting them were failing together. Now, they bought the house and financed the max, and that about $636,000, or might even have been $729,000. At one point, HUD had the area financing up to $729,500, or $250,000, as I recall. They put in $400,000 in renovation, but after it was finished, the after improved value of that home was a little over $2 million. $2 million because of the view. They capitalized on their potential view. Now, we've done that now for several homes in that area, and it's amazing to watch the transformation. So don't forget, if you want to be part of the show, call in at 888-627-6008. We're coming along and talking about foundation issues and some of the things that we run into. Sometimes we run into houses that have no foundation whatsoever. We did one in Marin County once that literally had no foundation. It was built on poles. So a 2x4 or 4x4s that went right directly into the ground, and they came up out of the ground, and then they put stringers across those and floor joists between the stringers, and there was no concrete perimeter foundation. Of course, part of the construction we did was to put a concrete perimeter foundation under this house and make it a viable house. So it's important that we do those kind of things and bring it up to current standards as much as possible. Another one in Crockett, California, we ran into, turned out to be one of the oldest homes in Crockett, and they were doing a 203K. There were 6 telephone poles that comprised the foundation. We found absolutely nothing wrong with that. They put stringers across that, floor joists between the stringers, and this home, the foundation was just as strong and in just as good shape as when they built that house. So we didn't change that foundation. We left it alone. Linder had a little bit of a problem with it. They wanted to see a concrete perimeter foundation on a foundation that hadn't failed in over, 130 years, as I recall. So just because it doesn't look like the foundation you think it should be doesn't mean you can't keep it. I did another one in Black Point, California, over in Novato, upscale neighborhood. These houses are right on the water's edge. And when the tide came in, the water would come up underneath the house and fill that area. Didn't get the house wet ever. And then when the tide went out, the water would come out, because there was three grade beams that supported this house. And the lender wanted us to put foundation pieces on both ends so that we would capture that water. And it was like pulling teeth to get them to back off of that. The whole idea and the design of this house is that these stringers are running toward the water so that the water can come up, get under the house when the tide's in, and go out and somewhat dry out when the tide was out. We won. We got them to back off of that and leave that foundation alone. It was nothing wrong with it. It hadn't failed. It should be there forever if you don't try to capture water underneath it and then have it float out in the bay. So we run into all kinds of foundations in our business, and some of them are still viable, even though they are not currently built that way. It might be an idea to start thinking about building some of them that way and get the cost of these houses down a little bit. I get such a big kick out of that when the houses in the San Francisco Bay Area have something like $100,000 or $130,000 in fees and construction costs, permit fees and so forth, that is paid up front before you even start building that. And they want us to build affordable housing. If we get the government out of the way, maybe the house would be affordable. So I don't want to get off on that tangent. That could really be a whole nother show. So talking about foundations, I think we've hit on that pretty much as we need to. If you have a foundation issue or foundation question, please feel free to call in and talk to us at 888-627-6008. What other kind of problems do we run into regularly? Again, we go back to the foundation. If the siding is sitting in the dirt around the foundation, you need to grade it away. Get the grading, I can't tell you, is a big, big issue in across the country. So keep in mind that your water should not ever be sitting up against the foundation. If you have a crack in the foundation, and yet that's all it is just a crack. There's no deflection. In other words, the one piece is not pushed in under the house more than the other side. They're even, and there's no separation. It's not a big crack. It's just a crack. Then those kind of problems just need to be monitored. Make sure you got the grading so it can't get any worse. The grading's good. Once in a while, we'll see a little separation where this crack is opened up, and now it's a quarter of an inch or 3/8 of an inch wide, and still no deflection. One side is not higher than the other. It's not pushed under the house more than the other side. They're even in that regard. And those are pretty simple fixes. Most of the time, the engineer will call for a 6-inch by 18-inch metal steel plate with three offset bolt holes on each side, and then you bolt through the foundation on each side of the crack. And the only way it can pull apart like that is if there's no steel in it. So you're going to drill some holes and put a bolt through those three holes on each side of the crack and tighten it up from underneath the house. And quite often the engineer is happy and tickled with that. So stay tuned. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
K911.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now and let's fix your problems.
Love my renovation project. Even though we don't love them all, we do love most of them. And it's such an amazing transformation on some of these houses to see these old, old houses. We're doing one right now that's the oldest home ever built in this Central Valley community. The oldest home, and we're doing a 203K on it. It's going to be fun to watch it come back to its original luster. So if you want to join, be part of the show, call in at 888-627-6008. A lot of times, some of the outlying communities, we had a drought in the last few years in California. And with a drought and a lot of homes that were vacant for a year or 2 years during that major foreclosure episode we had a few years ago, they were all on septic systems. They're out in the boonies. They're 2 to 5 acre parcels on septic. They've been vacant for a year or two, no water running through the septic system. And we found that the septic systems were failing. They were failing regularly. There were some lenders that were pushing the FHA 203K, but they were pushing the streamlined or limited 203K. And frankly, that is not a within the limited 203K realm. If you're going to repair septic systems or replace them, they must be a standard or full 203K. Doesn't mean the dollars don't fit the $35,000 threshold. Every time I say that, I cringe because it never was 35. In fact, we're doing one right now. Let me pull up the calculator here. The lender is requiring a 15% contingency. So you've got a 35,000 times 0.85 minus 800 in costs and fees. Our construction costs can only be $28,950. So just because the guideline says it's $35,000 max, you need to read the entire sentence. It says $35,000 max in costs, which are about $800, and fees, and your contingency reserve. Some lenders don't require a contingency reserve at all. And that way you could get up to $34,200 in construction. But with a 15% contingency, your maximum construction contract must only be $28,950. It doesn't mean you can't use that other money up to 34,200. but you're going to have to use it for items found that you weren't aware of during the course of construction. That's how that works. So now we've got the septic systems that are failing, and we have to replace them. Those can cost anywhere from just repairing the tank itself to a complete system. I know in Vacaville, California, we had a lot of systems that we couldn't get them to perk anymore. We built a brand new house, not with the 203K, but we did a brand new home. And I was hired to do the draw inspections. So the first time I went out there, they had the foundation poured and the subfloor in. And they were starting to finish out their rough plumbing. And I asked to see the perk test. And they said, we haven't done that yet. I said, you haven't started on your well or septic? And he said, no. I said, have those done when I come back for the next draw. We need to know what's going to happen out here. What bank wants to let you build a house not knowing if you got water or sewer? It just didn't make a lot of sense to me. I reported it to the lender, and the lender said, oh, this guy's a great customer. He's a contractor. He's building his own house. I'm sure it'll be fine. Well, it turned out it wasn't fine. I had made my point sufficiently to him. When I came out 30 days later, he explained the new system they were putting in for $78,000. And it was going to go on a hillside. It was designed in Saudi Arabia and came to the United States because it solved a problem that they had. And it was the only solution they could find. Another friend of mine years ago had a patent and has a patent. I think it's probably run out by now. So anybody could use it. And he patented a modular septic system that mimicked the ecosystem out by our bay. And sewage water could go in one side of this thing and come out 7 days later, fully fresh, ready to drink. And I told him I would take his word on that. I wasn't going to test it. But the fun part with his system that he patented was it's modular. So if you had a island in the sun somewhere and you needed a septic system, you could plant one of those there. And if you had a bigger house, maybe twice as big, you could put two of them there. And they bolt together, and the water goes in one, goes through it, and comes out the other one, fully processed. If you had a minor subdivision, say you got 12 or 18 homes, you would put 12 or 18 of these and bolt them together. It was quite an invention. An engineer par excellence. I mean, he was fascinating just to listen to his inventions. One of them was a desalinization unit that he could drop off and did. Our government bought some when some tsunamis happened out there in Southeast Asia. And they brought these in that kind of wiped away the forest and a little bit of everything else. But the biggest problem was getting fresh water. Getting fresh drinking water to these people. So they would helicopter in these units and drop them on the beach. You take the water inlet and dump a hose out into the water. And on the other side, each one of these units produced, I don't remember now, I think it was 5,000 gallons a day of fresh drinking water. Probably still tasted a little bit salty, but I didn't test that. He didn't have one operating when I was there. So anyway, there's lots of inventions, lots of potential out there now for all kinds of solutions. But we were looking at it for something entirely different. So keep your eyes open. If you got a problem with the septic system, any part of it's not going, it's a standard 203K. But you can use the 203K, and the work always happens after the loan closes. So realtors out there, if you're out there and you got a house and you want to sell it and get your commission and go to the next house, do a 203K. The work all happens afterwards. So nothing happens before it closes. You get your commission, you run. We stick around and do the draws and hang out there with the client each month until the work is completely finished. We don't ever let them fall by the wayside. It's a wonderful feeling, and you keep kept abreast of what's happening as they go through the process and can follow with the pictures. And if anybody needs pictures for their 203Ks, we've got thousands and thousands of projects that we've done, so we can have dozens of you order some before and after pictures on some of these houses. We'd be happy to help you with your flyers. If you're a realtor looking to push this business, or a lender, not a problem at all. We can help in a lot of different ways. Thank you. Thank you for joining us, listening in. We'll talk to you next week.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now, and let's get your home makeover projects done right.